If you haven't quite noticed this morning, our subject is going to be over pride and humility. And we get this from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, which says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are not of the Father, but is of the world." If I were to ask you what the biggest concern for our country is, we would probably get a wide variety of answers. And that's okay. People have different opinions. And sometimes we talk about how it seems that a lot of the population has somewhat lost their sense of morality. And, you know, they say it's okay to do evil things. What would you think it would be like if less people were prideful and more people were humble? Do you think our country would be better off? Do you think we would be better off as people? I believe so. And so this morning, I want to look at the basics of pride and humility. What does the Bible have to say about pride and humility? And I also want to look at the rewards that we gain from pride and from humility. So if we're going to study about these two subjects, I want to first define them. Pride is defined as a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether it's cherished in the mind or is displayed in bearing or conduct. And humility is defined as not proud or arrogant. So I just put it's the opposite of pride. This is a very black and white subject. We have two complete opposites here that we are dealing with, and we can find so in the Bible as well. So now at this time, let's look at the basics of pride and humility. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about pride and humility. First, we'll look at pride. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 6, it says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Now here Paul is specifically writing to Timothy about the office of a bishop, or we call them elders today. Now, he said that these elders don't need to be a new convert or a novice, or else they will be lifted up with pride. I want you to notice those words, lifted up with pride. You know, this makes me think of somewhat of a feeling. You know, when we have pride, we feel lifted up. We feel better about ourselves. Maybe we have that high opinion of ourselves. And if we do so, if we have this pride, then we will fall into the condemnation of the devil, just like these bishops would. There's another term in the Bible that we read that goes along with pride, and it's puffed up. Well, I want to look at what puffed up means. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 18, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." I want to put the focus on those words, puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, as we talked about just at the last verse, you know, the feeling we get when we are proud, when we have pride in our hearts and in our minds. You know, it makes us feel good, and I think that's kind of what being puffed up is. It's a sense. We get excited. I know any time that I have pride in my heart or in my mind, it's because I might have accomplished something. You know, if I make an A on the test, which is a rare thing nowadays, I might feel pretty good about myself. I might have a little pride in my heart. Now, is pride something that God approves of? Does God want us to have pride? Well, let's look at the verse that we read to start things off in 1 John 2:16 once again. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." God doesn't approve prideful people. He doesn't approve pride. It's not of God. It's of the world. It's a worldly thing. It's of the flesh. It's a fleshly thing to have in us. So through these three verses, I think we can conclude that us Christians should try to avoid pride at all times. It's a sin. So now that we have some good ground on pride, let's look at a few verses that concern humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Here in 1 Peter 5 and 5, we see three different instances when he talks about a form of humility. First, we see submit yourselves unto the elder. Then we see be subject one to another. And then lastly, be clothed with humility. Now, humility isn't a literal clothing. I can't come on here and put on some clothes and it's humility. Humility is more of a state of mind. It's more of an attitude. It takes a lot of will to be submissive to someone else. It takes a lot of will to subject yourself to another, to be humble, and it takes exercise. So where does humility come from? As we said, it's kind of a mindset, it's an attitude. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, this verse proves that humbleness does indeed come from the mind. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. And we see that. And it takes a lot of exercise. Now, this past week, I went and played some golf. Now, I'm a really bad golfer. I don't golf very much, and I'm pretty bad at it. And, you know, if you took someone who has golfed many years and they golf a lot and you take them to a golf course, they're probably going to do pretty good. They're going to be just fine at golf. But if you take someone who's never played golf before and you put them out on a golf course, the result won't be, you know, great. It won't be pretty. It'll kind of be ugly. And the same thing can happen to us if we don't exercise humility in our lives. If we don't exercise humility, we're probably going to be a very proud person. We're not going to have much humility in our lives if we don't exercise it. And it's important that we exercise humility daily. How come? Because we are told to in the Bible. James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. I want to thank Jeb for leading that song for us this morning. I know we sing it quite a bit here and in other congregations. But you know, it's a biblical teaching. We are commanded to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And so if we want to be a better follower of Christ, then we need to do this. We need to humble ourselves. So now we should understand that pride and humility both come from within. Now, pride makes us feel pretty good about ourselves. We get excited maybe at something we do, and we might feel some pride in our lives. And humility, it also comes from within as well. It comes from the mind. It's an attitude, and we need to exercise this thing. So now that we have some good ground on both pride and humility, I want to look at some rewards that we will gain from both. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Here we see the rewards of pride and humility are exactly the opposite of each other. A man's pride will bring him low. You know, we're feeling good about ourselves. We've done something that we like and we want others to know. And, you know, that pride will bring us low in itself. It will make us probably not feel as good about ourselves as we did earlier. It might make us feel a little depressed. And then on the other hand, it says, honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, that's kind of interesting to me that you have these opposite terms. You know, you're humble, you're feeling lowly about yourself, but honor will uphold you. You know, I know that, you know, just in the world, it seems, especially in sports, if a certain athlete is pretty arrogant, pretty cocky, they're very proud of what they do. No, not many people like them very much. But if you have a humble athlete, you know, people will have honor for them. They'll say, I like this guy. He's humble. He's not arrogant. And the same can go for us. You know, if we're known in the community as a very prideful person, many people might not like us. But if we're humble, then many people might hold us up in honor. And Jesus taught the same principle in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12. Jesus said, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Just the exact same teaching. Those who exalt themselves, those who raise themselves up, will be abased. They will be brought low. We will read a personal evidence of that here in just a moment. But you know, it's the exact same teaching that Jesus gives here. Exact same principle. Now let's look at James chapter 4 and verse number 6. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. It says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." You know, pride, the only thing that it will bring you will be humiliation and separation from God. God resists the proud. God doesn't want to be around a prideful person. He can't be around pride. He's too holy. He is perfect. And he opposes the proud, it says. But the humble, God gives grace to. And so that verse in itself should give us more motivation to be a more humble person and not to be so proud. Because God will bless you. God will help you. You know, wouldn't you rather be a little humble, feel a little lowly, and be upheld in honor, rather than, you know, being proud of something you've done and later being brought low? You know, it's something that we should seriously consider, and hopefully something that we look out for more and more. So now that we've read the basics of pride and humility, and we understand the things that it will bring us, I want to look at a few examples that we can find of the Bible of people who were proud and people who were humble. First, let's look at Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 3. Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 3 says, "And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." Here Moses and Aaron are pleading with Pharaoh, begging him to let them go, to let them go from bondage in Egypt so that they can go to the promised land to be free, a free people. No, they ask him, "How long are you going to refuse to humble yourself?" No, I suppose Pharaoh was a very proud person. You know, he was the king of Egypt. At that time, Egypt was the most powerful nation in the known world at that time. And he was the leader of it. He was probably looked up to as a god, and people probably worshipped him and had much respect for him. But it made him a very proud person. He had a lot of pride in his life, and it hurt his nation, and it hurt himself and his family. You know, the last plague that Egypt went through was when the firstborn would be killed if their household didn't have lamb's blood painted around their door. The firstborn in that house would be killed. And that happened to Pharaoh's son. You know, you think if Pharaoh would have shown some humility earlier, you think if he would have swallowed his pride, he wouldn't have had to suffer through his son being killed. And it didn't only end there. After he let the children of Israel go, they had been crossing the sea, and he decided he changed his mind. He wanted them to stay. And so he went after them, and it cost him his life. And it cost people of his nation their lives as well. You know, Pharaoh's pride hurt people. It hurt many people in his life because of his proud decisions. Also, let's look at Acts chapter 12 and verses 21 through 23. Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. It says, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost." Now here we read about this man Herod. It says he was arrayed in royal apparel. He is probably dressed really nicely. He had some nice, fancy clothes on. And it says he made an oration unto them. This makes me think of a speech or a talk. And those people loved it, apparently, because they said, "This guy, he's got the voice of a god. There's no way this guy is a man." And, you know, instead of giving God the glory that he deserved, Herod took it for himself. I'm sure that, you know, he was so puffed up, his head exploded. I mean, he was so filled with pride. And it says that he was struck dead and he was eaten of worms. You have one moment, he's being praised because of this speech. People are looking up to him. And the next thing you know, he's being eaten of worms. How lowly, how humiliating. No, this cost him his life because of his pride. His unwillingness to submit to God and give him the glory instead. We also read of some people who showed humility. One was King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 29. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 29. It says, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." Now, King Ahab wasn't a very good king. He was the husband of Jezebel, and she was a very evil woman, and she had killed a lot of prophets and a lot of people who followed God, and he was pretty influenced. He allowed her to do those things, and he commanded those things to be done. Now, Elijah, who was the prophet in that day, came to Ahab, and he gave him a prophecy, and it talked about all these evil things that would come upon Ahab if he did not repent, if he did not change, and if he did not humble himself. And later on, Ahab becomes very humble. He's repenting. He's begging for forgiveness. And God asks Elijah, he says, "You know, do you see how Ahab is humbling himself before me?" And he tells him, because of his humility, "I will not bring the evil in his days." Because of Ahab's humility, he was spared of this evil. Now, for a little bit, I want to talk about the greatest example of humility that we can ever find. And that's Jesus Christ. He was the most humble man to ever walk this earth. Never once did he even show a hint of pride. You know, coming down from a heavenly throne, that probably took a lot of humility. You know, if I was in heaven, I would never want to come back. You know, we read about how great heaven is. You can't be in a better place. Jesus was in heaven for a long time. He's been there ever since the beginning. And he came on this earth of suffering and pain to be a human. You know, when Jesus was sentenced to crucifixion, he remained silent. Now, if I was taken to court and I had been falsely accused of, let's say, murder, I would be outraged. I would be doing all I could not to be sentenced to prison for life. I probably wouldn't act like a Christian should in that situation. But, you know, Jesus went through the same thing. He hadn't done anything wrong, and he had been sentenced to die a horrible death. And he didn't raise a finger in resistance. You know, just taking the beatings, the cursings, people making fun of him, and just dying on the cross for our sins. You know, I brag about making an A on a test. I might brag about scoring some points in a basketball game. You know, we all have pride, and we all brag about really things that don't even matter. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he never boasted. He never bragged about that. He never had any pride. Never had any pride. He could have said, "I'm proud to be the Son of God." You know, when I was told to be proud, I was told to be proud of, you know, who I was or what I did or where I came from. But Jesus never did that. He never said, "I'm proud that I'm from heaven. I'm proud that I'm God's Son. I'm proud that I've died on the cross for your sins." He never did that. He's always shown humility, and he was a perfect man. Never once did he show a hint of pride. No, Jesus was that pure and perfect example of pride and humility. And we all need to take notice of what Jesus did. We all need to take notice of how he did it. And we need to do our best to be like Jesus. So we need to be very humble. We can't let pride take over our minds and take over our lives, because if it does, it will only separate us farther from God. He will only resist us more. You know, we've learned that pride and humility are two opposites. You know, pride makes us feel good. Humility, we might not feel so great about ourselves, but the rewards are opposite. If you have pride, then you will be brought low. But if you're humble, you will be raised in honor.